This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Here we go. This is where dreams are made.
No call for it all.
Simpson home run play. The deflection.
Oh!
The layup! .7 seconds left. Alabama State in front.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. What an exciting finish that was.
Just let me say, I know nothing about Alabama State, but I have seen them before.
Yep.
Every March, every first round, every year, it happens. There's a team like that. They looked very familiar, and I have no idea who their coach is. I couldn't name a single player. And the celebration was what we associate with this tournament, which is why it's irresistible, why people are staying home from work today, why they should at 11:15, just plop yourself on the couch, turn on the radio or the app, the Odyssey app, and listen and watch and enjoy, because this is a holiday. It's a sports holiday today. Beginning of the best weekend for college basketball fans.
Yes. It's one of the great weekends for sports fans. Let's be honest. And it has been for as long as I can remember.
Yep.
And, you know, I heard a song on the radio yesterday, which is an old Kenny Loggins song, This Is It. Do you remember that?
Make no mistake where you are. Yeah.
That was the theme song of the NCAA back when Dr. Duncanstein was playing at
Darryl Griffith
at Louisville.
Yes, that was the song.
And I remember
they beat UCLA.
They played it at the end of the tournament, and it's like, this is it. And they show him like, boom, Duncan from like
Duncan.
You know, the his elbow is over the basket.
Darryl Griffith was a great college basketball
player. Holy God, was that awesome there, stuff?
That is one of those songs you associated with. Then Luther Vandross comes on with One Shining Moment.
Yes.
All kinds of musical
associations. There's just so many of those moments in the course of your sports fandom.
Just back to the
phenomenal.
Corner. Don't be a fool anymore. The waiting is over. The waiting is over.
That's right.
The tournament is here.
Here's your miracle.
Here's your miracle.
Stand up and fight.
There you go. All right, getting fired up. This is fun because today is very fun. If you don't have a team in it necessarily that you are emotionally tied to and they can tangle your stomach up because of maybe, say, you're following Loyola as 7 years ago this week, we were living and dying by Clayton Custer and that group.
Wow.
And
wasn't that fun?
Our 8 o'clock guest, Porter Moser, that was so much fun. That was the most fun I ever had covering a team in a tournament as a sports writer.
We were out.
We were in San Antonio.
Together.
We were all over the place. Where else did they go that year? Dallas. That was fun.
That's incredible.
So those are the kind of memories that begin to be made today. They've already been made in the first four. I know that doesn't count in Dustin's world. It does in mine. We heard Alabama State win that game last night. Xavier comes back and beats Texas, so they're the first round opponent for Illinois. Tough draw for the Illini. So back to the whole, before we get to some of the brackets, because I want to get the rest of your bracket, because I know you've arrived at four.
Yes,
but
I have arrived at four that I mentioned. You made me say them on Monday.
I want you to restate them today because I want you to feel good about them. But Tucker DeVries, want to finish this conversation.
Yes. Tucker is the son. He was the MVC player of the year.
2 years in a row.
2 years running.
And then he went to West Virginia with his dad, who's the coach. And
he got injured.
He got injured. He played in eight games.
And they redshirted him, right? Then they appealed for another year.
Yes, his dad was hired as Indiana's next head coach.
Yes.
And there was a suggestion yesterday at the press conference that this was a known thing. They contacted him during the season. And West Virginia is in an uproar. First of all, they get snubbed this week by the committee. They're out of the tournament. And then they lose their coach to Indiana. And it appears that there was some talking going on during the season. This is speculation. Or the press conference, I think, confirmed a lot of the suspicions. And now people are saying, well, you know, would they have brought the kid back if they weren't leaving for Bloomington? When did they start to plan this? It's a little bit of bad blood as he leaves Morgantown.
Will they threaten another lawsuit?
The governor might be involved.
They were going to investigate everything about Bubba Cunningham, everything about North Carolina, every word that was said. Then they want to do that.
Now they're going to do it with the Indiana AD.
Yeah, okay.
They're going after him too, probably.
Now they're going after Indiana.
But Darren DeVries, basketball-wise, good hire for Indiana. Based on people you talk to.
Did an incredible job at Drake.
Yes.
Moves to West Virginia, goes into the portal, and gets a great player.
Yep.
And this is a guy that, I don't want to say, Indiana, whoever is the athletic director there, I apologize, I should have looked it up. They did a real good job hiring the football coach. And this looks like they've done a real good job hiring the basketball coach.
Yes.
And if his son is able to transfer and play a year, like I said, I think he'd be an all Big Ten player. I think he's a hell of a player. He's got a little height to him. He can shoot lights out. He's a really good player.
Scott Dolson is the athletic director, and you're right. He hired Kurt Cignetti, and that worked out quite well.
Yes.
Now that Indiana is a football school, they're going to try to make it a basketball school again with this hire of DeVries, and he's a grinder. He's a gym rat. He's all those things, and he made a very strong first impression, as many new coaching hires do. We'll see. So that's away from the court, on the court, the Big Ten. Eight teams in the tournament. Purdue plays today. They've got High Point. That's a tough challenge. You look at some of the other potential first-round upsets for Big Ten teams. I don't think that as much as some people have looked at UC San Diego as a 12th seed, Michigan has got to come in feeling a little bit disrespected. And I think Michigan, the winner of the Big Ten tournament, is going to advance in the first round. And I've got Michigan actually winning two games and getting to a Sweet 16 matchup against Auburn.
That's interesting.
But who do you guys have against? So Michigan, to get to that point, would have to play the winner of Yale, Texas A&M, another game that's kind of a toss-up.
Yeah. Mully's
got
the Yaleys.
A lot of arguments.
Mully likes the Yaleys.
I do. I've got Yale.
I have Yale as well, and I have Michigan, which I don't like my pick at all. I have Michigan playing Auburn and then losing to Auburn.
Why are you guys against the SEC? The SEC is the strongest conference in basketball history.
I have Michigan beating Auburn.
You do?
I do.
He did. I heard
you
that
have
Monday.
Shown such disrespect for the SEC, the greatest conference in college basketball history, and you have Auburn and A&M losing early.
Yes, that's correct.
Wow.
How many SEC teams do you have in your Final Four, David?
How many SEC in my Final Four?
Yeah.
I have one.
Okay, so do I. When you have 14 in the tournament, what would be?
I thought you had Tennessee.
I'm sorry, I do have Tennessee. You're right, I have two.
What
would be a success for the SEC? What would deem a successful tournament? 14 teams in, I think, don't they have to have at least two in the Final Four?
Yeah, you could have an all-SEC Final Four. You could dominate with Auburn, Alabama, Tennessee, and Florida.
Right.
That could be the SEC Invitational.
Would people love that or hate that?
Hate it,
right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's not football. I would not like that at all.
I've got Houston over Tennessee.
Okay.
I've got Florida, and I've got Duke and Michigan.
In your okay, in the Final Four?
Yep.
So let's restate. Mully's Final Four, Duke, Michigan.
Yep.
Houston.
I got Florida over Duke.
Right.
And I got Michigan and Houston as the other teams.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know what the – I got Duke Michigan
beating
me.
Alabama. I got – Michigan is a – it was either Michigan
surprises
or Michigan
me.
State. So I got Michigan State beating Iowa State. And I got Michigan over Michigan
there.
State.
I got a theory there.
That my wife went to Michigan?
Well, I got a theory that when you're giving your daughter your picks, it's much easier for you to tell her to pick Michigan because your wife went to Michigan. Yes, that's okay. What I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, I picked that, though, after the Big Ten tournament.
No, you didn't.
I did. I picked it Monday.
Okay, yeah, you did. Okay.
What the hell are you talking about? This is the exact bracket I had on Monday.
So if they would have lost in the Big Ten final, would you have still picked Michigan to win? And get to the Final Four?
Probably not. I liked what they did in the tournament, and I liked what I saw. I was surprised by their size and the way they played together. And I just thought it looked like the kind of team that gained some momentum and I felt was disrespected by being a lower seed than Wisconsin was. And it just
also, I like their coach. I do like their coach.
Well, I think a Michigan-Michigan State
Dusty
to
May.
Get to the
Dusty
Final
May.
Four, I mean, that would be – they have a great story.
Now,
right?
You talk
I mean,
about I agree.
Best case scenarios for conferences. That would be a Big Ten dream.
I
right?
was choosing between which Michigan school I wanted in the Final Four.
I want the Izzos. And go Sparty.
It's not that I don't want the Izzos. I just thought that that they misstepped in the tournament. And I get it. That means they're going to be better when they get. I don't think that works all the time.
I love
Back
Izzo.
Back in the day. One of the real things you would look for is the team that won the ACC tournament was often a team that was in the Final Four,
mm-hmm.
and it would you'd get certain surprises from teams that were hot in
those are the days. I don't think that really applies. I'm not
and
sure
I
what
applied
effect.
It. I applied it to Michigan because I wanted to pick them.
Unfortunately, I don't think the conference tournaments have a lot of impact on what happens in March Madness.
I totally agree
any longer.
With you. But it just gave me an excuse.
It's a good excuse.
To
as good as any
that I thought was playing its
clearly,
best
though,
at the end
the selection
year.
Committee did not watch any of the Big Ten tournament.
No, they didn't care. No,
or
they
the just, SEC tournament.
No,
or the SEC
Who's
tournament.
Who's your number one overall seed in this tournament?
Auburn.
Right, and everybody's talking
and
about the
lost.
Fact that they've lost three out of four.
Yes, and Duke.
Right?
Duke managed to win their
the
tournament
thing.
Without their best
without
player.
Cooper Flagg.
And frankly, I would really like to be able to look at an MRI of Cooper Flagg, and that is the reason I didn't take Duke to win the tournament.
Okay, Dustin asked me a question this morning. I'll pose it to our listeners, 312-644-6767. If you were Duke and John Shire, who I'm rooting for, would you play Cooper Flagg in the first round game?
I would play Cooper Flagg whenever he was ready to play. If you're asking me, do I believe he's ready to play in the first round of the tournament, the answer is no.
Well, because you think
I don't think they I don't think he would be
you can
medically
beat,
cleared.
You can beat your first round opponent without
I don't
Cooper
think
Flagg.
That's why.
Mount St. Mary's is not going to be
I agree,
a worthy opponent.
But I don't think that's why I don't think he's ready to play. I think if he were ready to play,
we don't know that.
He'd play. I'm telling you.
You
want
to see
think,
the MRI, Dr. Mulligan. You can't that, see that. You don't have access
I
to it.
I want the MRI, David.
You can't have it.
Give me the MRI.
But the thing, so if he doesn't play, who was it? I think it was Mike DeCourcy we talked about or talked to, and he said, that, you know, you play that game, you forget how tough the tournament is.
Yes.
You rest a player, and all then, of a sudden you're beaten, you regret it.
Right.
So I think Duke's probably playing with that a little bit, but I would take the chance of resting him.
See,
and
I wouldn't. If you were you ready
won
to
the
play.
Tournament, you won the conference tournament without him.
I'm telling you, I don't believe that he's ready to play yet. He had a serious ankle injury.
Well, then I hope he sits.
I think it takes a couple weeks at least. And I think he's getting tons of treatment every second of every day. But he's got a.
But you just said it.
He's got more to it.
But you just said it.
Yes.
This is it.
For once in your life.
Make no mistake where you are.
Here's your miracle.
Isn't he going to play?
Stand
he's
got to
play. Yes. If this is it, then you want to play.
I guess what I'm saying is you're right. That they don't really need him in order to win the game. And he's probably not ready to play anymore.
They will need him against Baylor. I think they would need him against Baylor. Maybe not, but I think Baylor is not going to be Mount St. Mary's. Baylor is going to
Mississippi State.
You think Mississippi State's going to beat Baylor?
I do, but I'm saying Baylor would have to beat Mississippi State is what I mean. Right.
I think they will. Do you not have that on your bracket?
Great, I have Mississippi State. It's a toss-up. I mean, I'm
you and Marshall
I'm
Harris.
I'm just showing a little bit of respect for the SEC there, David.
Oh, thank you.
See.
Gosh,
you demanded it.
You want respect, and you're picking Baylor. I mean, yeah. with David, come on. You want respect for the SEC. And you, I mean, how many SEC teams do you have advancing even to Saturday, Sunday?
Well, I think in the first round I have, let's see, a quick look at my, I have Alabama.
There are five SEC teams that can win it.
I have Kentucky. I have Tennessee. I have Arkansas. I have...
Another toss-up, though. Arkansas,
it's a
Kansas.
Tough one. I have Oklahoma. I have our guy beating Danny Hurley because I just can't stand
really?
The thought of Danny Hurley and UConn advancing. So I picked Oklahoma in my bracket. Yes, I did.
You said it was a bracket of nostalgia.
I did say that. I ruined me forever. You'll never be able to trust me again. Texas A&M, I have beating your Yalies. God, you guys are like the Ivy League here.
Do you know how much Yale's paying and their Auburn. Top player in NIL? Do you have any idea how much money
not.
They're...
I do not.
$1 million.
Oh, my gosh.
They're paying money for players, David. I don't know if you follow
the
college basketball very much.
So is
much.
Brigham Young.
Wow.
They've got one of the
money.
Highest paid players on
okay,
the books
Okay, there's
year.
A big disparity and big gap between what they're doing at Brigham Young because they have all kinds of talent and right, and what they're doing at Yale.
They will out. Thank you, counselor.
Okay. Yale... As a 13 seed is not something that jumped off the page and said, pick me. It just didn't. I don't look at them as Princeton. I look at them as happy to be there. So I look, everybody's got their own view of the tournament. I'm just
that's
telling you mine.
This, that's what makes this so fun.
Yeah, it is fun. I have Akron beating Arizona. Why? Yeah, I think that's a 13 seed that I thought would be sensible. They're coming from the MAC. They're coached by John Gross. He's
has
got
any
some
team let people down more
the
in the history of this bracket than Arizona? I mean, Arizona for years has been that team that I have had like
boogeyman
in final.
Team.
Yep.
They are my
They're
so.
All over the
when
place.
You pick them,
yes.
they collapse. When you don't pick them, they come back.
That's
and bite
that's
you.
Where my yeah, start yeah, yeah. of not liking Lori Markkanen came from.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he was. I think I had them losing in the championship game, and I think they lost. I don't think they made it out of. They didn't make it to the Sweet 16.
I think they have a player like that is easy. He's very polarizing. Caleb Love. And he's a guy that now you wonder if.
How do you feel about Chuck Love? Chuck Love the Third.
I don't know that. Chuck Love.
Who's that?
Chuck Love.
He's the Ramblers, the incoming freshman. He's the best incoming freshman.
I don't have the Ramblers
they
recruiting
have
class
for next
I'm
year.
Right,
wow.
Right now, wow.
Are you playing the game or
not,
are you not?
I did not have that. Did not have that in the list of things I was going to discuss today. I was thinking Caleb Love, the 23-year-old from Arizona.
Jordan Love?
At the center of so many controversies. All the controversies.
Well, I mean, a 23-year-old in college basketball nowadays, it's odd, too.
Well, the Auburn's got a team of them.
Auburn's average age is 1 year younger than the average age of the Oklahoma City Thunder, 23. And the starting five for the Thunder, 24. Auburn's a pro team, essentially, coached by Bruce Pearl.
Your guy.
One of the easiest guys for people.
For Illinois fans.
For Illinois fans to kind of root against in this tournament. There's several of them, though. But, yeah, Bruce Pearl is at the top of many lists. I love Izzo, though. Izzo was at it again yesterday. Talking about, what was that look for Izzo?
No, I could not agree. This
Izzo
is
was great.
You and I totally agree. He will hate to hear, not that he's listening right now, I doubt, but I think they have the easiest path to at least the Elite Eight.
Well, they got. I agree with that. I agree with that. And
I mean,
he was talking yesterday.
Marquette, New Mexico, that's a toss-up game to me.
It is.
Right? So they win that game. Iowa State's best player is hurt. I got North Carolina playing Michigan State to go to the Elite Eight.
They open Michigan State with Chris Bryant. He can't even dunk.
Not anymore. He used to be really good, though.
He could
really
dunk.
Throw it down.
No.
Then
remember,
his back started hurting.
Did you ever see that when they showed him trying to dunk? You're just like, dude, how tall are you?
Did you go that far just to pick on Chris Bryant?
I just made a joke.
You just love picking on Chris Bryant. Yesterday, Izzo was talking about his relationship with Nick Saban.
Yes.
Because they were both at Michigan State at the same time.
Right.
And he told this funny story. I think it was on one of the coaching specials. And he was telling a friend of his about how they couldn't rebound. They came back from a game they couldn't rebound. He was concerned about his team's toughness. So he called the equipment manager and said, tell Saban I want 15 sets of shoulder pads and helmets for practice tomorrow. And he put them on, and Mateen Cleaves is showing people how to buckle their chin straps and all those things, and he let them go at it. And he thought that they would be resistant and reluctant, and they would not like it. They loved it. They had so much fun.
Which made him even more upset.
Yeah, which made him even more ticked off. But something worked, because I think that might have been the year he was referencing that they won the national title. And that was the last Big Ten team to win the national title. Stunning as that may sound, one of the best conferences in the country hasn't had a national champion since Michigan State. This is the year they're going to change that, according to my bracket. My bracket is Michigan State, St. John's, Duke, and Tennessee. Remind us of your Final Four,
yeah,
Dustin.
As much garbage as you've given me about the chalkity chalk.
Yeah, you are the chalkiest chalk.
We have one different pick, David. We have one different pick. I have Michigan State, Duke, Tennessee, and I have Florida.
It's a Florida one that bothers me.
Right, you have St. John's, but that's
difference. I have a 5 seed. It should be a 3 seed, but they're a 5 seed.
Okay.
So you chalk players can all go rot.
But you got Florida too. I just think what I saw on Sunday was this national support of Florida somehow out of nowhere.
Okay, it wasn't out of nowhere for some of us.
Oh, they're really good.
They're good. They're deep and talented. They're athletic.
You know what they are? Really good. They're one of 5 teams from the SEC that could win it all. So they're from the best conference. There's Auburn, Alabama. There's Florida, Tennessee, and who's the other one? There's one other one that could probably win it all, and that's it.
Fair point.
I'm just saying, if that's the best conference,
well,
I
when
think
you build
that's
your
why.
Conference to be a mega conference, you add 80, all those teams, you're going to increase your chances.
Well, I mean, if you built your conference to be a mega conference, what's wrong with having a mega conference?
Too big.
312-644-6767. We're going to see who you like. Who do you like? Who's your team? Where is Mr. David going wrong? We don't care where Mully went wrong, because he's not all puffy-chested about it. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Chalkity-chalk-chalk-chalk-chalk.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Texas is in a double bonus from this point forward. He misses the second, and Xavier's got it. Texas trying to get to him. 2 seconds, and there's the knockout punch. And the Xavier Musketeers scrapping their way to a Friday night first round date with Illinois. Let him
be. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the score. Wow, that's
See,
good stuff.
You play that song, and how can you not pick your bracket with a tinge of nostalgia? Kenny Loggins, that's so 80s.
Oh, my God.
That's so 80s.
What year was that Louisville team? That had been
1980, 81, it? I think it was.
In the 70s.
Back when probably Rick Pitino was beginning to bring his first of six teams to the NCAA tournament. Remarkable what he has done and what he's on the verge of doing. Okay, so we heard the highlight from Texas Xavier last night. Longhorns blow a double-digit lead. Xavier comes back, advances to play Illinois Friday night, and Texas loses more than a basketball game. Lost their head coach.
Yeah.
Reports, Rodney Terry out.
Wow.
Out.
That's harsh.
Is it?
I don't know.
They're 19-16 this year. 19-16.
That tells you that that the fine folks at the University of Texas do not believe the tournament starts on the Wednesday or Thursday in the play-in games.
That's a vote in the Dustin pile. Yes, I think you're right. 24/7 Sports, Chip Brown, who's been in Austin forever, reporting that Texas will let go of basketball coach Rodney Terry after 3 seasons. Rodney Terry took over for Chris Beard in December 2022 after Chris Beard was arrested on a domestic violence charge. And so he stayed through the end of that season and was named the permanent coach 2 years ago this week.
Wow.
Didn't have the job for long.
Nope.
And
some places you don't.
Texas basketball, I suppose. Shaka Smart was there. Then he left for Marquette. And I think that made you wonder.
Was there forever. Someone was there for a long time.
Rick Barnes.
Oh, yeah, Rick Barnes.
Rick Barnes.
Forever.
Yeah, burnt orange. Look,
and then, gosh, who was the coach before him, though, that was there forever who looked burnt orange? Great guy. Gosh. I got to look this up. Texas basketball. He was there for forever. I'll look it up.
Brony?
Pre-Rick Barnes.
Pre-Rick Barnes.
Yeah.
Great. He was great with the media.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank. Because this now becomes another big job available.
Sure.
Villanova's open. Texas is open. Indiana
is
filled. Is
Villanova a big job?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it?
In college basketball?
Is Villanova
is
a big
job? Is that a rhetorical
job?
Question?
No.
Come on.
I'm just
Villanova?
Saying. Well,
in the history of college basketball, when you're looking at jobs that could be something.
Rolly Massimino was a great coach there and made that program go. And Jay Wright was arguably better and really made that program sing.
But that, you just answered your own question.
Well,
those two guys.
Okay.
Two guys are special coaches.
But I believe they had a really special longtime guy who was there when the Big East was taken off. And then Jay Wright went in there and did...
Spiffed it up.
He did an unbelievable job.
Very spiffy,
Did an unbelievable job.
It can be special again.
Yeah.
I think you're thinking
Tom
of Penders.
Tom
Penders,
Tom Penders. He was there for a decade.
Yeah, he was good. Very, very quotable.
88 to 98.
Affable, quotable.
Yeah. And then he went to Houston. He finished up at Houston. But yeah, he was great with the media back in the day, Tommy Penders.
Another big job, Texas and Villanova. I do think that Villanova, that's an interesting argument. Maybe
I'm not dissing any.
We
I'm
won't
just
ask Porter Moser about that, though.
No. Well, yeah, what can he say? his name's been mentioned. Don't tell that to the Oklahoma folk.
Well, there was a couple weeks ago, Oklahoma folk would have been fine with Porter Moser coaching anywhere but Norman.
That's a really good point.
Then they get into the tournament, and now things have changed. This is the first time he's been there since leaving Loyola. And in Oklahoma, people were like, well, it's about time. It's about time. This fulfills the promise of what Porter went to Oklahoma to do, and that is to make them into a tournament team. They've been close before. A year ago, they were just on the outside looking in, and one of the final four teams, the last four teams, to be eliminated. And this year, they got in.
I'm glad they got in. I'm glad for him. He's a good dude.
Easy guy to root for.
You know, people are like, well, aren't you mad that he left? Like, how could he stay? I mean, you know.
Were you ever? Were you ever?
Mad that he left Loyola? Yeah. No.
Good.
No. Why would I be
I couldn't
mad?
Remember if you were or not.
No, I was always
I was trying to remember that, yeah.
No. I think it would only have been if he had left Loyola for DePaul. Then he might have been.
Or if he would have come back and took the DePaul job like he was contemplating a year ago, or they were talking to him a year ago before they hired Chris Holtman. Now, that would have been a little bitter. That would have been a bitter pill to swallow, right?
No. I listen, you know, here's the reality. Why are you laughing at me?
I think you're not being...
I'm being very forthright. I'm a very appreciative of what Porter did at Loyola and how he went in there and what he went through and how he pulled that program up and he got them to a Final Four. And that was glorious. And I'm very appreciative of it. I think I would be angry with Loyola, not with him, because... When you have people, and they've had some real good coaches there, and people have come in and poached the coaches. And I'm talking about it at different levels of sports. That's what happens. When you're doing a good job, people come for you. And then it is up to the school to either keep you or say, hey, you know, congratulations, go on your way. And so when that happens,
it was time.
I never would tell anyone
that
you should stay out of loyalty to a program that can't be loyal to you.
Well, there was no way that anybody could have really challenged that decision when he made it to leave for Oklahoma.
No.
He had had previous opportunities to
but
leave,
he
and
to
he stayed.
And he wanted to stay with the team he had. And
I don't know if I would make this argument, but I would say this. What Porter did in going back to the tournament after getting to the Final Four was every bit as impressive as leading his team to San Antonio to the Final Four.
Yeah, and then he had Drew Valentine there, and Drew got to the tournament with the remnants of Porter's team.
Yes,
so
no doubt about it.
And there's nothing wrong with that
either. And whatever success that Loyola has enjoyed by joining the A-10, you've got to give Porter Moser a measure of the credit.
Yeah, no question.
Large measure of the credit.
Large measure of the credit. Yeah, and I mean, you know, Loyola is in a very interesting position because – you know, the MVC is a one-bid league. We know that. And the A-10 is now a one-bid league.
It's become that way.
That's what's happened.
Because
of the mega conferences. Yep. And there's not a lot you can do about that. But I would say that the A-10 is a better league than the MVC. Obviously, there are home games you can't go or away games that you can't just drive to like you could if they were still in the MVC. But the reality is that they're making more money, that the program
more lucrative, no
is
doubt about
bringing
it.
In more money,
yeah.
And that allows them to get players, and that allows them to be of a different sort of area. And, you know, it's very hard to leave a league, and really Drew Valentine's only bad year was the first year in the A-10.
He's got things going,
and
though.
Now they got things going, and they're in the
rolling.
Top end of the A-10. It's a good place to be.
I have to say this in the context of our conversation, didn't expect to go here, but you wonder – with these jobs becoming open and the domino effect, you know that his name will start to come up.
You've been trying to get him a new job for like the last three off seasons.
I'm not trying to get
you
him a new job.
You have been desperate to get
I
him
knew
in
that would
at
spark
Michigan
that reaction.
State or whatever.
I'm not trying to get him a new
Let's
job.
Let's just let things unfold.
I know, but when you win 20 games as consistently as he has won 20 games
and
since
he's recruited
Porter
well.
Left,
and
he puts together these recruiting classes, and you just sit down and talk to him.
Chuck Love Jr.,
I did not know who that was when you brought him up this morning.
Chuck Long the third.
Okay. Yeah. Not Chuck Long. That's a quarterback.
No, it's Chuck Long the third, right?
We'll check that out.
Maybe
nonetheless,
he's related.
The point being, Drew Valentine could be a hot coaching candidate if these bigger programs look to Loyola and wonder, because he's still very young. I don't even think he's 40 years old yet. Still a very young man and still a very good coach.
No question. Very young. Got to it really early.
Two very big openings in college basketball, Villanova and Texas. And McNeese State, because they lost their coach, but they're playing today, which is very strange.
And Iowa has filled that job, right? Or have they?
No, they have not. Good point.
So that's another
one. Iowa. That's another big one.
But that's not as big a job as your Villanova job.
Why are you mocking me for saying Villanova is an elite job? Villanova is a very good, I don't know, elite. By elite, if you mean top 10, it's not a top 10 job.
I think that like, somebody texted in, Rolly Massimino is like Ray Meyer. He's like a guy that was there a long time and had some good teams. Mm-hmm. And then they got Jay Wright, and that took him to a different level.
Yes, it did.
And so that's why the program is considered as good as it is, basically for what he did. But I don't know that that's a repeatable situation, because I don't know that
could be a sleeping giant.
I don't know that the Big East is the entity it once was, and I don't know that DePaul, up to this point anyway, hasn't been able to replace that coaching staff.
I understand all that, and I understand the history and the reluctance to want to acknowledge that, but what Jay Wright did at Villanova proved what you can do there with the right approach and with a program builder.
He is that.
All right, we got to get to Joe Fortenbaugh.
All right, great. We get the chance to talk to our buddy Joe. I'm sure he's got some picks. I'm going to tear up my bracket before too long after talking to Joe.
You got time.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score. Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Joe Fortenbaugh, our man in Vegas. You see him on television because he's really in Connecticut. ESPN Bet Live weekdays on ESPN, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Morning, Joe. How you doing?
Joe.
Not well, boys. Not well at all. I don't know what we're doing here in the state of Connecticut, but today my children have a half day, and tomorrow they're off. How am I supposed to sit there and gamble at a reckless pace with my children, 8 and 6 years old, around me the entire time? What are we doing?
What kind of private school are you overpaying for?
This is a public school. You would think public school would know better.
Yes,
private school. I understand. Look, if I'm going private, I'm sending them to boarding. Get them the hell out of here. But if we're going to do a public school, what are we thinking here, Connecticut? Look, it's one thing in Nevada. Kids are off all the time. No one gives a damn about anything out there. But in Connecticut, this is supposed to be serious business. So I don't know what we're doing. I'm disheveled. I'm trying to get organized. But it's great to be on with the great people of Chicago.
Is this a nod to the potential three-peat? The people of Connecticut get the day off to watch basketball?
That's actually a pretty good point. I hadn't thought of something like that. They do very much love this Connecticut Huskies team. You got to be careful with your commentary, because I personally lean to Oklahoma in that opening round matchup, but I'm not running around town screaming it, because the Huskies are obviously the favorite sons, but we also have the favorite daughters. Ari Emma and the UConn women's team, fantastic as well. They've got a much better chance of running deep this year than Hurley's men's team.
All right, so what are you looking forward to most today, Joe?
All right, so let's start with this. I'll do a little pick-your-own-poison. Do you guys want to start with some bets for today and tomorrow, or do you want to start big picture, bracket, and future slate?
Today and tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, we need bets.
Yeah, let's get right to it. Let's hook it right into our veins, shall we? We don't want the long-term crap. We want to get right to business. I understand. All right, so right out of the gate, first game, I'm going to go ahead and play Louisville against Creighton. I think a good approach here outside of laying the 2.5 is to play Louisville in the first half as well. They got misseeded. They beat Clemson, and they ended up getting a much worse seed than Clemson. So I think the committee did them a favor by putting them in Lexington. So it's basically going to be a Louisville home game here. And if you look at how they performed in the first half, I think they're like 21-2 against the first half number over their last 23 games. They break fast from the gates, so we'll play Louisville. We're also going to play Louisville first half. Purdue and High Point. The total is 152.5. We're going to go over. Styles make fights. I don't see anyone getting stops here. Purdue has terrible rim protection. They rank like 350th defending two-point range. High Point's going to score. Conversely, Purdue's got the offensive firepower to hang a number on High Point, so we're going to go over 152.5. I like VCU plus the 2.5 over BYU. BYU turns the ball over way too much. VCU's got that aggressive defense that's going to force those turnovers, so we're going to lean into that. Where else are we here? UCSD is a very popular one, plus the 2.5 against Michigan. This is all about the spot. Michigan played 3 games in 3 days to win the Big Ten title. Their reward is that 4 days later, they have to go to Denver to play at altitude against a very good and very underrated UCSD team. That's going to be a problem. That could be one of your first-round upsets. I would look at that right there. I'll share a couple others that are sharper plays. I haven't done a lot with these yet. I know some of the guys are leaning to Missouri minus the 6, as well as Texas Tech minus the 14.5. That's a game that's built for the Red Raiders to win a blowout. So that's today. 3 of them on the card for tomorrow. I would lay the points with St. Mary's over Vanderbilt. This is a big coaching mismatch when it comes to March Madness coaching experience. That's one play. As we work our way down the board, I would be looking at Xavier plus the 3.5 over Illinois. I know that one's not going to land well, but it's going to go one of two ways. It's going to go one of two ways for Illinois, okay? Choose your own adventure. They could win their region and be one of the Final Four teams. They are that good. There's that type of upside. Or they bomb out early, and Xavier's coming in, and Xavier's a lot better than people realize with that play-in. So plus the 3.5, if you want to go there. But if you're an Illinois fan, remember, again, it's high variance. They're either going to bomb out early or they can make a really good run at it. I know guys who think they're going to win their quadrant as a potential sleeper, so keep your mind on that. And then I'll take Liberty plus the 6.5 over Oregon. Liberty much better than people realize. That was 7.5, and it's been bet down.
It's good stuff, Joe. All right, big picture. Final Four, who you got?
What the hell is Molly doing? He's busy making these bets as I'm talking. He can't even respond.
I can respond. I'm just writing furiously. I have VCU. I have Michigan making a run. So I'm like I spat out whatever gum I wasn't chewing. And I also like Drake. I'd love to get your take on Drake.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing with that. I know a bunch of guys that are lining up to play Missouri because they think they're devalued here at the minus 6 based on how things have closed out.
Right.
However, it's kind of split. There are some guys on the other side that like Drake because of the coaching mismatch in terms of experience. What Drake is bringing to the table is a lot better than what you see from Missouri to some extent. So I've seen it both ways there. If you end up playing Drake plus the points, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If you go Mizzou, I'm basically passing along information from guys I know that really like the Missouri Tigers.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Makes me feel better.
All right, good. We got everyone in line. No heart attacks. Everyone's calm. We haven't even had the first game yet.
No, but we're getting excited, Joe.
What's
we're
your
very excited.
Final Four? I do like that question, Joe.
All right, so here's what we're looking at. Let's start by talking a little bracket strategy, okay?
Good.
The bigger the bracket you're in, the more risk you have to be willing to take. If you're in one of these pools that has 1,000, 2,000 people, you can't just have all four one seeds. You're going to be competing against way too many people. You got to be willing to take risk. It's called game theory, okay? You got to play the game here. Now, if you're in a smaller pool, family pool, office pool, 20 or fewer, you can get a little chalky. You can play more favorites. So keep that in mind. That's strategy number one. Strategy number two, the money line rollover parlay, okay? Sometimes you'll look at a team and you'll say, I really like, let's say, Texas Tech to go to the Elite Eight. Or you might like VCU to make a run at the Elite Eight, okay? And they offer you a price, maybe it's 8-1. You're better off just betting that team on the money line for each individual game and then rolling it over. So play VCU on the money line against BYU today. And if they win, you take the winnings and the initial investment and you roll it over on the money line in the next game and then the next game. And ultimately, when it's all said and done, you will make more money doing that than you will playing the 8-1 because the books have a higher hold percentage this time of year on bets like that. It's some complicated stuff, but the money line rollover parlay can be your best friend when it comes to maximizing your value. In terms of futures, I'm all over the place. I'm not betting against Duke in their quadrant. I like them to come out of that. Alabama is a high-variance team. They can be very good with their pace and three-point shooting, or they can be very bad. I have St. Mary's taking Alabama out in the second round. I think Duke has a good path. In the quadrant right below that, I think that's your bracket of chaos. Houston, I don't trust. Tennessee, I don't trust. I think this is where you take a shot on a team like Clemson. They're 14-1 to win the region. If you go back the last 23 NCAA champions, 22 have two things in common. Number one, they're a top 25 offense, according to KenPom.com. And then number two, if you take their offensive rating and add it to their defensive rating, it comes out to less than 50. It's not an exact science, but the last 22 of 23 champions meet that criteria.
Up against the clock, Joe. 20 seconds left.
Texas Tech, Clemson, these are the futures you want to play. I do have Florida winning it all, but I got some longer shots there, so that's how we're looking.
Thanks, Joe.
Excellent, Joe. Love you, buddy.
Love you, boys. Go Bears.
That's our guy, Joe Forfile.
Good stuff, good picks. Porter
Florida,
Moser.
Florida, feeling better.
I know, another Florida pick.
We'll talk to Porter next. Mully and Hall on the score.